How's it going, everybody? This is me again, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by my good friend Monica.
Hi, guys.
So, Monica, I was telling you about my week. It's been at work. I mean, I got the news that I would be getting a few more hours, so that's a good thing, nice. I guess. I'll be making a little bit more cash, but I wish that it was more than what I'm going to make. But anyways, what is that saying? You don't look a gift horse in the teeth, or what is it, in the mouth?
I guess. I've never heard that before.
Something like that. It's like an old saying that you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So I guess that means that I should appreciate the chance that I'm getting to make a few more bucks every paycheck.
True.
So how about you, my friend? How's it going on your part of the woods?
It's going good. It rained the other day, and actually, like, the whole week it's just been like it gets cloudy here and there. Nothing happened. It's still hot as hell outside, but at least during like the afternoon it starts to cool down, so it's not too bad. But yeah, just another hot freaking summer day in California. And yeah, same old, same old.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's kind of the same thing for us, just real quick. It's already going back to the familiar three-digit temperatures.
Nice.
The past couple of weeks, it's been raining here and there, but this week, I don't think it rained at all. So, yeah, it's been, like, hitting 100 pretty much every day. And, like, I had lunch in my car today because I normally don't have lunch at work anymore. I just take a break.
Yeah.
Because of the hours that I was doing. But now I took lunch and I was eating in my car at Sonic. And I was like, oh man, this is, my AC didn't cool my car at all in like the hour that I was
there.
Oh
no, that sucks.
I mean, it did like a little bit, but not the way it normally would. But anyways, yeah, dude, it's been crazy. So, Monica, before we reveal the topic of our episode, which, I mean, it's in the title, so people should know what we're talking about. But, you know, for the people that like mystery, maybe just click a random episode. Let's go ahead and remind our listeners of our social media accounts. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends, and we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we have our Letterbox, which is a movie blog type of website in which you can create lists of movies that you like, that you don't like, review movies, interact with other reviewers, stuff like that. So we have a watch list under if you want to go ahead and pick a movie for us to do from there. We can do that for you, or recommend one that is not currently under for us to add under. We can also do that for you. So that's going to be under Myths Behind LGDS as well. We have our TikTok under Myths Behind Legends, and still have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm surviving. I'm kind of like being like, what is that when you're in the swimming pool that you can't swim, but you're kind of just like like the puppy paddle, whatever.
Oh, the doggy, yeah, the doggy paddle thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing on there right now, but I'm managing. And I still don't understand how to find videos. I'm out of touch with that. So,
like, to watch them?
I mean, I know how to watch them, but
But I mean, like, how to look them up, like, for categories and stuff like that?
Yeah, because when I go to my Discover tab, it's all these videos that I don't want to watch.
So you just go to your search one, your search bar.
Yeah, I mean, I should probably do that, but, you know, I'm busy. Yeah. So we also have our infamous website, which will be hopefully updated by this week. And that is under myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com.
Woo!
Yeah, I like that little head bobbing you're making.
Thank
Looks
you.
Looks very stylish on the screen.
Oh, gracias.
So, my friend, what is the topic of today's episode for our audience out there?
Today we are discussing Blood Red Sky.
Blood Red Sky on Netflix.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not necessarily horror, but it is about vampires. So it's vampires on a plane, you know?
Basically,
which
yes.
Is a little nerve-wracking to be in a contained space like that with a bunch of beings that are trying to drain you from your blood.
Definitely, my friend. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the critique segment that's coming up after this break. But before we go on break, actually, I want to mention that we have a survey running on Twitter currently, in which I put choices. Which one do you think you would survive? Snakes in a plane or vampires in a plane?
Oof, that's a tough one.
And we're gonna, I mean, the survey's gonna go for another day. I mean, I meant to do this yesterday before we recorded, but I forgot. So by the time that we recorded, I would have had the end result. But as of when we finish this recording, the survey will still be going on. But I'll report on whatever the current percentage of is for each of the choices. So
Okay,
that's cool.
cool.
People are interacting. I like this. There's 25 votes already, so that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be right back with our critique segment after this break. Stick around, please. All right, so we are now at our critique segment, Monica. And for the uninitiated, if it's a first-time listener, that you are, the critique segment is the one where we go over the cinematic aspects of the movie. So the plot, the scenery, the way the movie was shot, the soundtrack or the score, etc., right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'm gonna ask you, really quick, I mean, you gave us some quick impressions of this movie a couple minutes ago, but you might want to go a little bit in depth with that for now, please.
I like the idea of, the whole think about the vampires existing and then them playing it off like it was cancer, because so whenever you get bit by these types of vampires, you basically turn into a bat if you don't like contain yourself or control yourself with whatever medicine it is that that lady was taking. So you lose your hair, So like she had to wear a wig, and like in the beginning it kind of does seem like, oh, this chick has cancer. She seems weak, like poor lady. And then you realize that it's not cancer. It's actually she's a vampire, and she's been taking medication to help her retain her original self, original form. But obviously, like on that plane, and it's a whole thing. It's very interesting because like there's terrorists on the plane. It's these dudes that are, I don't know what the hell they were doing the entire time. They're trying to gather data for some other freaking bad guy somewhere else that they're flying to. And they're not supposed to kill anybody, but there's this really psycho dude there who like apparently has a thirst for blood too, but in other forms, in other ways, trying to kill everybody all the time. And well, they kind of mess with her with her kid. So she ends up, trying to defend her child, gets killed, and then she gets her revenge. But like it's cool how she can control though. Like she can control herself from lunging at everyone. She's very aware of like what she is and what that means for other people, and she's able to stop herself from like basically tearing apart everything that comes in front of her, as opposed to the other guys who like, because they're wild, they've never understood this is something new. They go crazy and they start turning everybody. So then you got a whole freaking plane full of vampires.
And I want to talk about some of the things you mentioned right now, but before I do that, I want to air my grievances with this movie. Actually, it's not so much with the movie itself, but it is with Netflix, because I am, I guess because of my musician talents, I believe I may have lost some of my hearing already.
Why?
Because I always have to put subtitles or captions in the stuff that I'm watching, even if it's in English or Spanish, because I sometimes can't hear what they're saying on the screen very clearly. Or it sounds mumbled to me, and I don't know if it's them or if it's me that I already lost some of the frequencies that I need to identify what words are saying. But so my thing is that I always put subtitles, and they don't always match what they're saying, but whatever. But my point with this is that this movie is, I guess, like a British-German film, because half of it is in English, half of it is in German. And during the English-speaking parts, they don't have subtitles.
What?
And
I never even noticed
I
that.
tried messing with the settings, and I could never find a setting in which they would have subtitles for the English parts. I mean, I guess it could have been Spanish, and that would have helped, but I mean, I actually didn't think of that.
Wow.
But I was like so upset. I was like, dude, like I can't hear what these people are saying. I can't understand them. Like, so I was trying. I picked up my volume, and then the music would kick in, and it was like super loud. I
Yeah.
had to turn it back down, and it's like I was frustrated. So that was one of my grievances with this thing, and that led to me not understanding the motives of the hijackers because I had no idea what they were after.
Well, yeah, I couldn't understand it either. I just knew that one of the pilots was like helping them, and he had the little computer hooked up to like the system, which I'm like, what the f are they downloading from a plane? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was really weird. I also could not figure out what the whole point of that was, why they were even out there.
I think it had to do with the douchebag passenger, and we'll come back to him in a minute. But you know that rich guy that's trying to be like all sexual with the stewardess in the
Oh
beginning?
yeah,
I think he's some sort of investment banker or stock exchange person or something because he's trying to run his numbers in the airplane, and he complains to the stewardess, "You guys told me you would have uninterrupted Wi-Fi," and she's like, "Well, we're up in the sky, dude. Like, what do you want me to do?"
Yeah, what
Like.
do you expect? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it had something to do with him, from what, because he seemed to be some sort of like financial professional person, whatever. But he's also a bag of douche, and we'll come back to him, like I said. But now, going back to the point you made a little bit earlier, I think it's a very interesting premise for this movie, in the sense that, like you were saying, the vampire is doesn't want to be a vampire. She's trying really, really hard to not become one, and when she has to use that. I don't want to call it a skill, but that, illness or I don't know, but when she has to use that in order to protect her child, her son, her child, she still has some sort of control, but I think some of it has to do with the medicine that she's
That she
taking,
takes, yeah.
because that medicine apparently keeps whatever is causing the vampire. I'm assuming it's a bacteria or a virus or something, because the medication appears to keep her in human form without having to drink blood or whatever. But if she drinks blood, then that kind of overrides the medicine because she starts kind of become
Turning.
yeah she starts becoming more vampiric in appearance the more blood that she drinks during the film.
Yeah, that's true.
So she gradually loses her humanity as the movie progresses, and spoiler alert, at the end she becomes like a full vampire. She loses her humanity completely. So now I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the origin of the vampires? Because you see that in a flashback that she and her husband are stranded in the middle of a snowstorm in the forest, whatever. And so the guy goes out and tries to find help, and she finds him like later on, and he's been killed by a vampire in this like abandoned cabin in the woods or something. And so then she fights him off, the vampire, and she ends up getting her hand bitten, and that's why she turns. But there's another scene later on where she comes back to that location and she finds the dad of the guy that made her into a vampire. And he tries to shoot her, but he's the one that has the medicine. So my question is, what do you think is the origin of this? Because how did this guy get this medicine? Who are they? Like, they don't even explain any of that.
They don't, and it's kind of like hard to really speculate because we don't really get a lot of information. We don't even really see who that doctor is that she's talking in the beginning, right? Like, it's confusing. There's a lot of unexplained things in this movie that, although it wasn't terrible, it was kind of hard to invest myself in it.
I mean, I would have liked for them to at least give more of a
Background.
detail, yeah, background or details on that, because I mean, it's not that like I want my hand to be held all the time, but this is always a gripe that I have with some of the movies that I watch. It's like, dude, okay, like it's okay to keep some of the things in the dark, but not everything in the dark. If you think about it, it doesn't really matter too much what medicine it is or whatever, but at the same time, it's like you're saying, like I think I would feel or I would have felt more invested in this character and in her arc if I knew what it was she was taking. Because when she went to that cabin again and she kills the older vampire, this guy has like a supply of this thing like in the fridge. He has like an entire box of this medicine. So if there are doctors out there that know what causes vampirism in this world, in this universe, how is this not a thing? Like, this would have been leaked, dude.
Right, exactly.
This would be, if not common knowledge, it would be something that people would be talking about in forums or whatever, because
Yeah, and like a lot of people in the plane were just freaking out because they couldn't understand, and it's like how does this exist in this world and nobody has heard of it? Like,
Yeah, I
Except for
mean,
that one crazy guy. Yeah.
well, the, yeah, and I want to talk to him or talk about him in a little bit, but yeah, like it's crazy how he just like, oh, it's a vampire, and I
I
mean,
got this.
yeah.
Yeah.
So before we talk about that though, it's probably gonna polarize some of the people out there. It polarized me for sure, but I'm not too sure that I'm a fan of the kid.
Why?
Because he's kind of like the one that instigates the whole thing. When the people take over the plane, they were trying to keep the people in their seats, and this guy's like, "Oh, we can hide in here, mom." And he like runs, he like jumps over his
Yeah.
mom to find the secret passage, whatever. And that's how she gets killed, because she runs after him. And then the crazy guy comes over and shoots her a couple times, and it's like, okay, so, and then there's other moments in which the kid was kind of like annoying to me, if I want to be honest. I don't think he's a terrible character, but I think, I don't know, like, in the end, he kind of does redeem himself, though. He's the one that kind of makes everything go away, in a sense, by detonating the bomb, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe that was the point. Like, in the first half of the movie, he's kind of like weird and annoying, and then at the end, he kind of redeems himself. But I don't know, dude. Like, I'm kind of torn on this kid. I mean, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
I don't mean the kid himself as a person, but I mean like the act, like the character.
Yeah.
As a character, I don't know if I can like this kid too much, because he's kind of the one that caused this entire plane of people to die
True.
at the end of the movie. You know, like. Well, going back to that crazy dude,
Yeah.
he immediately realizes that, oh, it's a vampire. So he goes into the freaking luggage compartments and busts out a hockey stick and makes it into a
Yeah.
steak. Like, he cuts it with a knife and makes it into a pointy steak, whatever. And then the craziest thing that he did to me is like he injects the blood on himself.
Oh yeah, dude. That was crazy. And I mean, I guess I was hoping that he would die in the car in the flames, but I guess it was too good to be true. This freaking guy ended up coming out and like turning everybody. But, you know, of course, because there has to be some sort of conflict besides all the stuff they were already dealing with. But yeah, that guy pissed me off.
Yeah, he was kind of a weird character. I don't like him very much either.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because he's a psychopath, but
But even as a villain, he was just kind of like meh, but like just way too crazy.
I think, see, and that's what I mean. Like, it kind of doesn't really make sense for him to be so knowledgeable about this,
Yeah.
and yet nobody else, especially the people that are making the medicine that keeps the vampirism syndrome, whatever, away. Somebody would have leaked something out, dude, and of course it would have probably been called crazy and this and that. But if they have the evidence, I mean, it's like, I don't know, maybe I don't know. I'm thinking too much about this,
I get you though, I feel the same way.
but I still can't get over the fact I can't even like how this guy took the lady's blood, and I thought right away this guy's gonna inject himself, but he kind of puts it away for a minute. So I guess that kind of made me think, well, he might take it to somebody that eventually will figure out where
Sell
it
it.
is. Yeah,
Yeah,
sell
I
it
thought he was gonna use it to sell. Yeah.
in the black market, or make something out of it, you know, whatever. But then he ends up using it on himself, and I don't know, because he becomes like feral immediately, dude. He
Oh,
doesn't
yeah.
control any impulses whatsoever. He's the one that he
He's
kills
already a
his.
psycho, you know?
Yeah.
Like, already in his nature.
It may sound like I didn't like this movie too much, but I did. I liked this movie, but I think these are the things that I would have changed, or that I would have maybe liked to see differently, that I think would have made it, for me, for
Yeah.
anyone that cares, a better movie, you know.
Yeah.
But now the other guy, like the one that becomes the kid's friend,
Yeah.
he's some sort of scientist, right?
He's like a biologist, or I don't know if he was a biologist, but I know he's kind of like a doctor because he's going to like a doctor's convention or something. Oh, in the medical field. And along with the other Muslim guy that's on the plane, which the what's it called? The terrorist guys had already counted on because they were gonna blame everything on them.
to get all that stuff going, it takes a lot of effort, I would imagine.
Dude, yeah.
Booking or making sure that these two people are in the same plane at the same time, the same flight, whatever. And
Yeah.
then having the luck for everything to go according to plan, and then having them read the statement in which they blame themselves, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it was.
It was a little too much in that sense.
I mean, but what movie isn't, though?
True. But I mean, come on.
Basically, like, a lot of movies have kind of the same thing where everything kind of goes just right for the plot to advance.
Right.
However crazy or outlandish it may seem, but. And
That's
this one, I
true.
was like, ah, that's a little bit too much, man. And then, of course, they had the crazy guy posing as a steward.
Oh yeah.
So, I
Which
mean.
I thought he was gay or something, and then he's, I don't think he is actually,
No,
'cause he changes
that
his
was part of his
demeanor.
character.
Yeah, okay.
Part of his character as a steward, like as an air
Yeah,
steward.
to be a, yeah.
Because in real life, I don't think he was like that.
No.
Or in real life in the movie. Yeah, so now the reason why I brought up the scientist dude is because he gets bitten at some point trying to defend the lady and the kid, and then they chop off his hand.
Yeah, and it stops the infection.
So, do you think that would actually work?
I mean, if it's the way that it seems it is, which is that like it's literally like a virus, it makes sense. They did that in The Walking Dead too,
Yeah.
with zombie stuff. So I mean, why? I mean, it makes sense. It was on his hand if it wasn't like on another part of his body. So, and technically, the bite is technically almost like a venom, you know, like when they bite you. So it makes sense that if you chop off the body part that got bit, it's not going to travel through your blood, and therefore you will not get infected.
I don't know, like if somebody out there with medical expertise can help us solve this mystery.
Yeah,
If, well, let's not even go into the realm of science fiction or fantasy. Let's go with rabies.
I was thinking the same thing,
You know,
yeah.
if a rabid dog bites somebody in the hand, would you, I mean, we have a vaccine or a treatment for rabies, but it's got to be done like immediately, because if you wait too long, then you're done. So it's got to be done within like the first, I don't know how many hours, but if you wait too long to get the shots, which from what I have read are really painful, and
Yeah.
I think they inject you around the belly or on the belly button or something like that. That sounds intense. But
Yeah.
well, I mean, if I'm correct about this from what I remember reading on this, so if somebody gets bitten by a rabid dog or bat or cat, whatever, you need to get these shots taken like as soon as possible, because if you don't, then that's it, you're gonna die. There's no
Yeah.
fixing it. But my question is, if somebody gets bitten in their hand or in their foot or something, if cutting their hand off would prevent that biological, I don't know if it's a bacteria or a virus for rabies, to be honest, but that organism or whatever it is from infecting the rest of the bloodstream. That's kind of something that I've always wanted to find out, and I've been always too lazy to do research, my friend. So if somebody out there can help us solve this, then yes, you'll forever have our gratitude.
It can't
So
give you much, but that's very, it comes from the bottom of our hearts.
yes, definitely. And you might actually get some goodies in the mail
True.
if you are cooperative. But a couple of last things before we move on. The rich passenger dude, you know, that banker dude, what a douchebag, man.
Yeah.
He knew. Well, before that, there's a scene in which the kid shoots a window out of the plane, so they lose pressure, cabin pressure, and
Yeah.
the airplane goes down and the gas masks come out. And this guy goes up to like some old lady and takes her mask, dude.
I know, a total douchebag.
I couldn't
Fucking
believe that, dude.
dick.
I would have like, I mean, well, you really can't do much of anything in that situation, because if you're not breathing it through that mask, you're gonna lose
You're gonna
consciousness.
die, yeah. Or fall asleep. Yeah, true.
Yeah, because of the sudden drop of oxygen, because the cabin is pressurized, and this is, I'm just me talking, making assumptions, but the cabin is pressurized to ground level, I guess, to basically keep the same level of oxygen that you would have if you were on ground level, wherever you that airplane took off from.
Yeah.
So when you're like 3 miles up in the sky, oxygen is super thin, super super thin. So there wouldn't be any for you to breathe really, at that point.
Yeah.
So if a hole is punched in the window or in the hull of a plane, that pressure would, you know, be lost, and you would have no oxygen to breathe until the airplane is brought down to a lower altitude, whatever. Which is what they do. But yeah, this guy goes up to like this lady and takes her mask, and he's like, "Oh, whatever, this is my mask."
I need it more than you do.
Yeah. And
There's
then,
always one. There's always one in these movies.
yeah, always do that. But the thing is, people like that do exist, man.
I know they do.
People like that do exist. We saw it in Train to Busan, the old douchebag businessman.
Yeah.
People that only look out after themselves. And this guy, apparently, he was gonna die a very deserved death, which he did, but not in the way that I thought he would. Because he gets crushed by one of those service carts.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And so he breaks his ribs, whatever, and he's bleeding internally, and there's no way to save him. So he's there
That's what he
dying,
gets.
and then he tells the doctor or the nurse in the plane, "I'll pay you $1 million to save my life." She's like, "I can't save you, bro. You're dying. Like, your money doesn't make any difference now."
Exactly.
So that it would have been cool for him to die like that, but then he opens the door where the vampires are being kept,
Oh
because at some
yeah.
point they managed to isolate the crazy dude with the other guy that he turned in the lower luggage compartment. And this guy's like, "Oh, I'll get him out and ask him to turn me so I can be more like he is." And as soon as he
And
opens
live.
it, as soon as he opens the door, the vampire just kind of just like smacks him in the face and kills
He's
him.
like, "Fuck you." Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked for him to just kind of die and maybe like reflect on the life of douchebaggery that he led, but I don't know, maybe his end was, I mean, he deserved it. He deserved to die.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. And last thing before we give our rating for this movie, do you agree that the kid made the right call in the end?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. In this world, apparently, once again, vampires exist, but they don't exist because nobody seems to know they're around. So when this airplane gets flagged as being hijacked, and they landed in, I think they landed in Scotland or Ireland, one of those two countries. I can't remember which one. I think it's Scotland. So they land, and of course the military guys are like, "No, kid, their vampires aren't real. Like, no, like you're in shock, so we're gonna give you a shot and put you to sleep." And so they don't believe the kid that there's vampires in the airplane. So when they breach, they all get slaughtered.
Yeah.
They all get slaughtered. And now there was like a live feed because, of course, when teams like this breach a location, they have like a camera so they can, I guess, for reports or records or whatever, or in case they pass away, I guess, you know, for stuff like that. So they're watching all these people get eaten by vampires, and they're like, "What's going on? Like, what is it? Like, oh."
What did we do? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, the kid told you there's monsters in that plane, dude.
I know, you should have listened.
But I mean, can you blame them for that, though? I mean, for not.
Well, no, because like I mean, if somebody told me, "Oh, there's a vampire," I'd be like, "Nah, let me go see it for myself." And I'd die, you know? Because I'd be like, "I'm not gonna believe you," like right off the bat, unless I knew something about that. Like it's a difficult call to make, I guess, for that. But that guy was being an asshole. The general dude, because like he was like straight up racist. He wanted to put that guy in the prison. Like he didn't care about what he was saying. It's like, "Oh yeah, no, you're lying." It's like, okay, dude, like come on.
Well, that was kind of the thing because the terrorists they thought of this and they made him release that statement w in which he blamed himself as a terrorist,
Yeah.
whatever. So then I think it's maybe like one of that classic thing of trying to find a scapegoat for whatever is going on. And I don't know. I mean, like I thought I didn't really think too much of it until at the end I was like, "Is oh okay, I see this has some undertones there that." Yeah, but I mean, that's another thing that I believe would happen in real life. They would just go with
Yeah.
the easy way. Okay, this guy looks like one of that would do something like that. So let's go ahead and blame him for everything, regardless of the fact that there's like 200 vampires in this plane. Which I mean, they didn't know, of course, but he's telling them like, "Dude, like I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't kidnap this airplane. Like, just let me leave this plane." And they're
Yeah.
like, "No, we won't let you leave until you release all the hostages." And I was like, "Dude, like there's no people left
They're not
alive in the."
hostages. They're dead.
So I don't know, dude. Like, I mean, plot-wise, the movie I think could have been revised a little bit, and it would have been, I think, a lot better. Like, the idea of the way that I would have thought it was gonna be done from the trailer was that it was gonna be like a gradual thing, kind of like In the Shadows. Like she was gonna hunt them one by one, kind of like a slasher film. But the reveal comes really quickly and really suddenly. So after that, it kind of like just escalates nonstop. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I would have done this kind of like Alien, in which the monster quote unquote hunts every person one by one. But overall, I thought this movie was pretty good
Yeah, me too.
in general. So I do feel sorry for the kid because he's the one that blew up the plane and killed everybody, and his mom included. So now he has to live with this guy that he just met a couple hours
True.
ago. So what is your score? And by the way, the units, I'm gonna go with generic ones here because I was burned out from work. So when I was making the notes a couple hours ago, I was like, how many vampires on a plane did this movie get?
Vampires on a plane. I'm gonna go with a six.
Six. All right, I'm gonna give this movie a seven.
Okay.
A seven because it was entertaining, it was good. I think the action was okay, but the stuff that we just talked about, as far as the plot and everything like that, the details being hidden as to the origin of the vampire onus, whatever it is, I think that automatically makes me deduct points. But I'm sorry, like I need some sort of exposition. Like and
Same.
again, not that I want everything to be spoon-fed to me or my handheld or everything spelled out to me clearly, but if you give a hint and I can make assumptions or create connections to something, that engages me as a viewer in a movie. And when that doesn't happen,
Whatever. Yeah, same here.
yeah. So, okay. So this movie gets an overall 6.5 vampires on a plane. I guess one of them got cut in half somewhere with a knife or something or with a stake. But yeah, you got any more comments on this movie?
No.
All right, cool. So we're gonna move on to the academic segment after this. And actually, spoiler alert, we're gonna have a special segment at the end, which we normally do that known thine enemy, in which the enemy is of course the villain. But for this one, we're gonna have a know thine frenemy. So yeah, we'll be right back with our academic segment after this breaks the ground. So we are now, Monica, at the academic segment, in which you and I discuss something from quote-unquote real life or pop culture that connects to the topic of the movie or series or show that we're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, so for this one, I thought, well, when we talked about Castlevania Season 1, which, by the way, we got to go back and do the rest of the seasons, I think, because the last season is pimp, dude. Season 4 is pimp. That's probably the best one. But I digress. Going back to this topic here, I thought, well, we already discussed that a little bit in the Castlevania episode about vampirism, and actually there's a real life syndrome, by the way, that has not been entirely approved by the DSM book writers. DSM is the book of that psychiatrists and psychologists use to diagnose mental disorders. So there has been some sort of mention that they might consider putting that up, but it's a very small contingent of people that want to do that. But anyways, my point is that there is a quote unquote condition that people believe that they are vampires, and so they take these habits of sleeping during the day and not going in the sunlight and drinking blood. So I thought, well, I don't want to rehash that same thing because we already talked about that, and we talked about Vlad Tepes' Dracula when we did the Dracula movie. So I didn't want to talk about that again either. So I was looking through blogs, the old reliable source of information on the interwebs, and I came across this myth, Monica. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. Have you ever heard of Ambrogio the Vampire?
No.
Let me say that again. Ambrogio.
Ambrosio, no?
No, no idea.
No idea what that is.
Does not ring any bells in your head whatsoever.
Ambrosio. No.
Okay, that's good because I had never heard about this before either. So
Oh, okay.
I'm glad I'm the only one.
Oh,
I thought I had missed out on this incredible thing. And basically, the more that I came across this topic in several different blogs, and I kind of compiled the information on what looked to be like the three or f two or three that were the best written out of all of them. Because from what I understand, also, this has been debunked. It's not a real myth. It's, I guess, kind of like fan fiction, if you want to think about it that way.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you're somewhat familiar with Greek mythology, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this involves some of the Greek gods, but it also involves an Italian man. Now, if I think about my history correctly, I don't think Italy was around at the time of the Greeks as a country. I mean, of course, Italy was there, like the land was there, the people were there, but I don't believe that Italy had been established as a country back then. I may be wrong. I don't know. I didn't look into this, to be honest, because I was kind of busy or rushed while I was doing this. But there were, like I said, of course, there's people that live in that area, whatever. But I don't think they call themselves Italians yet, for that matter. Because I mean, what the Greeks were around, what, like in the before Christ, like 1,000, 2,000 years before Christ, maybe. I think. I may be going back a little bit too much, but that's what I'm thinking. Because the Romans were around the time of Christ, so a couple hundred years before Christ was born, if you go by the historical timeline that we learn in school. And I believe the Romans conquered the Greeks too. So anyways, my point is that Ambrogio was an Italian man that is allegedly the first vampire ever written about in quote unquote modern times. So he was an Italian-born adventurer that, for some reason, ended up in Greece, in this place called Delphi. And Delphi, if you read some of the more popular Greek myths, is a place where an oracle was. And what is an oracle, my friend?
Somebody who like tells you like your future or like what's gonna happen or who predicts something, knows everything too.
Yeah, so this oracle in Delphi is present in quite a few of the more popular Greek myths that we've read. So this guy was there, right? And as he was there hanging out in Delphi, he meets a woman slash goddess called Selene. Not Celine Dion, but this woman goddess named Selene. So he fell in love with her, and him being immortal, I mean, of course, back in those days, the Greek gods would get down and dirty with mortals and create demigods, and Zeus did it all the time. He had like a million mistresses and had like a whole bunch of kids everywhere. So it just so happened that this goddess, Selene, was kind of one of the ones that Apollo, the god of the sun, was into. So he's like, Ambrogio, you're not gonna have my woman. You're not gonna take her away from me. Or my woman for this month or whatever, because they always had different ones. So at that time, Apollo claimed Selene for his own, I guess. And so he's like, no, Ambrogio, you're not gonna take this woman away from me, so I'm gonna curse you with my god powers to not be able to hang out in sunlight ever again.
Jesus.
If you so much as come out during the sunlight, your skin's gonna burn off, whatever.
Damn.
So this allegedly is the origin of the fact that vampires can walk in sunlight.
Interesting.
I mean, there's more, but what do you think about it so far?
I mean, that's pretty cool that if that's the origin story, like there's a lot of drama in there, so I like that. I dig
It's
that.
like a novella.
It is.
So this guy tries to get a goddess to fall in love with him, but this goddess is at the moment with Apollo. So Apollo's like, dude, I gotta make sure that you can't ever see the daylight again, because if you do, you're gonna burn right off your skin, whatever. So then, well, Ambrogio get kind of depressed, obviously, because he couldn't hang out with during the daytime anymore. And so what happened after this is that, well, he realized that Selene was a goddess and he was just a man, a regular man, in spite of the fact that he couldn't be in the daylight anymore. So he finds out somehow that Hades can take away a person's soul and make them immortal if they prove his courage to him.
Okay.
I had never heard of anything like this before, but I mean, according to this story, he finds out that Hades can make him, in essence, an immortal person. So he goes to Hades, he goes to hell, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how he got there, because we learned a while back that Cerberus is a guardian dog in the underworld. I don't even remember that. Remember we talked about Orpheus?
Yes,
The
I
guy
remember.
with the music that put the dog to sleep with his little harp thing.
Yeah.
So how did this guy get past the dog?
I
That
don't
wasn't mentioned at all in this, so like, if you had to speculate, how do you think he got around this dog? The three-headed guardian of the underworld, Cerberus.
Well, he used a little flute too. Somehow, maybe he knew that. That was a secret. I don't know.
That's one of the things that, like, okay, like, there's no explanation for this. So, I mean, it's just kind of like plot holes already kind of
Yeah.
surfacing in the story, right? So then, oh, regardless, I mean, what you and I might think, he actually manages to go to Hades' throne room, whatever. So he asks Hades, "Hey, dude, I fell in love with the goddess, and so she's gonna live forever, and I'm gonna get old and die eventually. So what's up? Help me out here." And Hades is like, "Well, dude, the only way that you can become an immortal is if I take your soul away from you. But for me to do that, I need you to prove your courage to me. So I need for you to go run an errand for me right now." And so Ambrosius is like, "So what's up? What do we need to do?" And Hades is like, "Well, you gotta steal Artemis's silver bow and arrow." Artemis is another goddess, by the way. So he tasked, according to this more than likely debunked fake myth, but let's go along with thinking that it's real, or that it's an actual historical myth, rather. So, according to this quote unquote historical myth, Ambrogio started hanging out with Artemis and her entourage because Artemis was the goddess of hunting. So she was always hanging out in the forest, kind of like with a little group of people that would help her hunt, and they took pride in being the best hunters in the entire world. They would always hunt prey, and basically they would never miss a prey. They would always catch it, right? So I mean, of course, I mean, she's a goddess. She's gonna like if she wants a deer, she'll have a deer, So, but I mean, but I guess they made it fun by pretending she wasn't a goddess, anyways. So he somehow finds his little entourage, and he kind of infiltrates that little group of people, and he becomes like, not friends, but he comes to Artemis's good side. So she likes this guy, She's okay, you're good at hunting, so I respect you, you can hang out with us. And after a few days or weeks went by, she catches him trying to steal her supplies, her silver bow and arrow. So she was, of course, upset at this, and so she cursed Ambrogio with, "If you ever come in contact with anything made from silver again, you will die," or whatever, or something really, but like you'll be in a lot of pain, rather. Which is part of the vampire myth in some places also. I always thought werewolves
Yeah, that's what they say.
were allergic to silver, but apparently in some stories, vampires also can't stand silver.
Interesting.
So what do you think so far of the story? I mean, this guy has been kind of everywhere. He's already upset two gods, or one god and a goddess, and so what's up with this Ambrogio guy?
Don't know, man. Sounds like he's making very complicated life decisions.
He's doing it for love.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean, well, when I get to the end of the story, you'll okay. That's all I'm gonna say for now. I'll keep all spoilers to the end because this is kind of like a messed up story for him. But I mean, maybe he's into what happened. But anyways, some people are into stuff like this. But okay. So he begs Artemis for a chance to forgive him because he's like, "No, look, I'm doing this because I'm in love with Selene, the other goddess, and I want to be with her, and I need to prove my courage to Hades." And he asked me to take your bow and arrows to him, and she's like, "Well, that's not my problem, dude." No, but I mean, she actually felt sorry for the guys. Okay, I guess. So, but you're still gonna be cursed because I don't want you touching my stuff again, right? But I'll let you hang out with us longer, and if you prove your worth, then I'll forgive you, whatever. So yeah, sure enough, I mean, this guy hangs out with him, and he proves his worth. He's a good hunter. He's a good, gatherer, or whatever. So at some point, she's like, "Okay, I forgive you. We can be friends again, whatever." But at this point, this guy somehow find a way to like steal the bow and arrows still. So he took him to Hades, after all. So he got caught stealing, begged for a second chance, he got it, and then stole again. I mean, I don't know, dude. This is okay,
This guy's asking to just get his ass kicked. Like, that's what he wants. Masochist over here.
so okay, so then he makes it back to Hades again, somehow getting past Cerberus a second time. And so he's like, "Here, Hades. Here's the stuff you asked me to bring. So now you can take my soul and make me immortal." So Hades just keeps his word. He's like, "Okay, so now I'll have your soul, and you are now able to live forever." So that's the origin of a vampire's immortality, because he can't die because he's got no soul. So it all kind of connects to the traditional, more known myths that we or stories that we read about. But I still don't think this is a true myth.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
I think it's again like fan fiction type of stuff.
Right.
But I
That
was
makes
surprised that I found it in so many websites. It's not just one story that a person wrote. It's in several different pages that I was like, Ambrogio, Ambrogio. I was like, who is this guy? Like, never heard of him before. And there's of course people that say like, nah, this is fake, but it's a cool story nonetheless, right? But wait, we're not finished.
Oh, there's more.
There's more. Always, there's always more to the story, my friend. So, by this time, the goddess that Selene that Ambrogio was after had somehow been made into a mortal because of some other stuff she was doing. So she got in trouble. So I guess Zeus took her immortality from her.
Damn.
So now she's immortal and he's like immortal. So eventually he's gonna like outlive her, apparently. And the thing about the Greek gods is that. There's a story. They have to eat or drink something called ambrosia, because if they don't, they can actually lose their powers. And that's like an actual myth that I read somewhere else. Not part of this. It's somewhere. I read this in like in a scholarly thing. So I mean, I don't know if that's right or not. But that makes sense. I mean, because it was in a reputable source, as opposed to this that was in blogs. But anyways, so. Then somehow, I it's not clear how, but somehow Selene gets sent to the moon, apparently in a rocket ship or something. I mean, why not, right? Let's get science fiction involved. This nah, that was my addition. Like, a rocket has never mentioned this. But somehow, I mean, I guess the gods can travel through the universe or whatever. So she is in the moon hanging out, and so Ambrogio is like, well. I want to be with you, and she's like, well, I can't because I have to be hanging out here for a while, whatever. And so eventually what happened is that Artemis again comes into the picture, because he's like, well, now that I'm immortal and she's not a goddess anymore, she's gonna die eventually. And so Artemis made it so that if he kissed her or if he bit her, or it's not clear depending which version of the story you read, there's a lot of different variations to it. So this is I'm trying to make sense of all of them, and I compiled like the stuff that made the most sense into this account right here. So basically, in this version of the myth, I guess my version, if you want to think about it that way, Artemis made it so that if he kissed or bit her, she would become immortal again. So I guess that's the vampire's kiss type of thing, right? So then. Yeah, so he ends up kissing her or making out with her or something, and so she becomes an immortal again, so she becomes a vampire, but she is staying in the moon for longer than she thought, so she can't come back to Earth yet. So but she told him, well, if you kiss other people, then they will become like you and me, so they'll be our children. We'll be their parents. So that's how Ambrogio started spreading the vampire stuff around. And
Interesting.
they considered everyone that became a vampire their child. So, what do you think of that?
That's very Twilight-ish
I don't know. To me, this is kind
kind
of like,
of.
eh. Like,
Oh,
I almost died, by the way. My microphone landed on my head.
I honestly, it probably is like fan fiction.
Think so.
Too.
Because well, and then there's a couple other things that happen. Ambrogio promised to never marry anybody because he loved her so much, but she ended up having some side dudes over here every now and then. So I think she actually, according to the story, she actually ended up having real kids with other guys. So
Wow. That's pretty f***ed
So he did offer nothing because she ended up hanging out with her dudes anyways. I mean,
up. Can't trust these hoes. Damn.
well, you said it, my friend, not me, so I guess that makes it okay. So the last that we know of Ambrogio, or that is written about him in this story, is that eventually, I guess, he moved back to Italy. And he started to become more vampiric as the years went by. So like an actual, I guess like the ones that we picture, like being like bald and pointy ears and stuff like that. So he moved back to the city of Florence in Italy, and he created a vampire clan.
Damn.
So the first ever vampire clan in all history, apparently, according to this. And this is to me where is kind of where it becomes kind of like True Blood or whatever. I actually never have seen an episode of True Blood, but I know, I kind of know what it's about. So he creates a vampire clan, and then after the years, they started kind of like rival factions started to form in the clan. So they had some sort of civil war of vampires. He went into hiding, and apparently his group lost because after this conflict ended, he has been missing since then. But allegedly, people speculate that he still lives somewhere in Italy to
Interesting.
this day. So I don't know, but I think this is fake, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
I agree.
and when I say that it's fake, I mean like the myth itself. I don't mean like there's actually a vampire dude that talked to Apollo and the Greek gods, because I mean, of course. But what I'm trying to say is that it's fake in the sense that it's not a myth from the Greeks themselves. Like it's just something that somebody wrote as like their own Greek myth that kind of like, I don't know, fan fiction, like we said. So I don't know. This is kind of like a little bit different of an academic segment, my friend, but I thought it was kind of a cool little side story or thing to talk about because I mean it deals with vampirism and it kind of mixes some of the Greek. I like Greek mythology a lot. I was a big fan. I've been a fan of Greek mythology since I was a little kid. That's all that I would read when I was a kid, just Greek myths, and that's probably not appropriate for like a 7-year-old kid, but I mean, because there's all this like sexual encounters in the forest and like
True.
adultery and babies getting eaten by gods and killed by lions and I guess that's how I became a horror fan. Greek myths. But yeah, I mean, you got any other final thoughts or any comments about this?
No, it's just it sounds way too like fantastical, I think, to be an actual myth. But yeah, that's it. That's all my only comment.
I'm gonna ask you a question before we close the segment off. If,
Okay.
my friend, you wrote any vampiric stories, what was some of the ideas that you would do? Or like, just, I mean, I'm not asking you to do like a book summary or anything, but if I'm thinking you probably thought about this before, because you're a writer. So maybe a couple of plot points. What would you do, like, as far as ideas?
I mean, I like the idea of vampires being these like seductors or whatever. But it'd be cool to have like the good looking, like tolerable vampire dudes fighting against like these creepy looking ones that have lost their sense of humanity or something. I don't know, like it'd be interesting to like see or read a story like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
You should write
I should. Yeah. Vampire Wars.
it. So that was our academic segment. We hope you guys enjoy that. And we'll be right back with the Know Thine Frenemy segment for this episode. So we'll be right back. Stick around. Okay, everybody, so we are now at the Know Thine Frenemy segment. And normally, Monica, this would be called Know Thine Enemy, but I don't consider the lady vampire a villain.
Neither do I.
at all. I mean, the villains would be the terrorists, I think, but they're just humans, and I don't really think there's enough about them to make an entire segment just for that. So I figured, well, let's go ahead and talk about the lady that I labeled her as Vampire Mom. I think her name in the movie is Nadia. So Vampire Mom is a frenemy because she is a friend. She helps people, she or her kids especially. But she's also a vampire. So would you consider her like an anti-hero maybe?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, because, I mean, obviously people will see her as a villain because there's she's scary, you know, like they're afraid for their lives. But she's also fighting, you know, the bad dudes that are also turned into like vampires. But she doesn't have any bad intentions. Like all she wants to do is protect her child and make sure that this doesn't spread because it is her duty to make sure that nobody else has to suffer like that, or to basically stop this from happening to other people so that they don't f up the world too, because that's exactly what would happen, you know?
No, and that's what we see in the end. I mean, when the kid blew everybody up. So, as far as your classification in this the system that we developed with scientists from a worldwide panel, she would be a, well, she's kind of a mixture of an intelligent and non-intelligent once human, because she is, of course, a human, but eventually she loses every trace of that at the end, at the very end of the movie. So, once again, what happens? How does she become a vampire, dude?
She gets bit by some dude in the middle of the woods, and she gets bit in her hand, and then, you know, she starts changing a little bit. What I want to know is how she met that doctor that gave her that stuff, that medicine. It's never really explained.
I know, and that's like what we talked about a little bit ago. It's
Earlier.
maybe she found the name of that guy in the little containers of medicine that she found in the cabin. See, and that's what I mean. Like if you don't know where how this is happening or how she's keeping it under control, I mean, it's kind of like.
I mean, I thought it was really sad though, 'cause like she knows she had such a good life. That's what it seemed like, right? In the beginning, she was like, you know, she had the love of her life. And they had a child together. They were having a blast. And then this dude goes off for help. She loses him. And then technically herself, because she was bit by a vampire. And she turns and she's like scaring her child as a baby
Oh yeah.
because she's frustrated because of all the noise that he's making. And she's stressing now, trying to make sure that she gets back home before it, you know, the light comes out so she doesn't fry. And she's has to be a single mom because her husband is gone, you know? Like, it's a very sad story, but also, and the way it ended was very like, basically the entire idea of this movie is like, protect your child, and that's all that matters, you know? Making sure that they're okay.
Yeah, because I hadn't thought about this up until now that I heard you saying it, but hers would have been a very lonely life, dude.
Oh yeah.
She couldn't ever meet anybody to be with because she's not a human anymore. She can't like have a boyfriend or anything, even if she wanted to in the future, she can't. So she's gonna raise this child, and then eventually that kid's gonna die, and she's gonna like, I mean, if things had gone in that direction, eventually
She'd have to go through that, yeah.
he would have gotten older, and he would have gotten, old and died, and she would have been the same. So what do you think she would have done then, like at that point, like?
I feel like it would have been hard for her to like keep her consistency with that medicine. She probably would have let it go. Like, because it's better to be feral and like, you know, not know what the fuck's going on than to suffer through the pain of losing your son.
That, or maybe she would have turned him. I don't know. I don't think she would have done that though.
No, I think she would have turned him. She doesn't want the same thing to happen to him. That's very clear. She probably would have killed herself too. Like, I don't know. Because at that point, why live, you know? Like, unless she finds somebody who was turned as a child, and she tries to take care of them and guide them so that they're not alone in the world or whatever. That's the only other thing I would have thought of.
That's a very sad story, my friend.
It is. Yeah.
But I mean, so basically, like you were saying, I mean, her main motivation is to keep her son safe at all costs, and she goes above and beyond.
Oh yeah.
But now, as far as her skills or her abilities, it's very consistent with the stories that we're familiar with. I mean, as far as she has like superhuman strength and speed, she can move really fast, and she regenerates herself when she drinks blood. Apparently, right?
Yeah.
Because you see, this is gonna be like, I know you probably hated that scene where she's shot in the chest, and she sneaks into the luggage compartment and she eats one of the dogs. So, what do you think
I hate that scene.
of that scene? Because
And she picked the cutest one too. I was like, really? The little tiny one? Like,
instead of going
come on,
for like the
girl.
Doberman, whatever your dog was.
I know. Like, that's messed up.
And then she blames that dog for the death of the other guy.
I know.
So that dog is killed for nothing. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spoil the scene, but basically, like, she goes down, of course, and she chooses, like you said, the little dog to replenish herself. And then to avoid being caught, she releases the bigger dog after she had killed one of the henchmen. And so when the other guys come down, they see the dog kind of like drinking his blood, whatever, and so they kill him. Oh my god, dude.
Too much dog murder in this movie, I think.
I mean, I'm not a dog person. I don't hate dogs, but I don't like seeing animals suffer on screen.
Yeah.
Or in real life in general. I mean, like, when somebody shows me a video of like a dog being mistreated or whatever, I get like really frustrated and angry. I can't deal with that. Like, especially if it's a cat, because I love cats. I'm like, oh my god, no. Like, I'll see red.
Yeah.
But yeah, and as far as the opposite, the weaknesses for this vampire mom, UV lights apparently also
Oh
hurt her.
yeah, because it's kind of like the sun. Yeah.
So how do they find that UV lamp in the first place? I can't remember.
They were using it for something, for whatever freaking bomb thing they were making, or
Is that what that was for?
I think so.
Because all that I remember is the guy having a UV lamp all of a sudden, the psycho guy.
Yeah, because
Somehow.
he got it. Yeah.
So I'm like, where'd you get that from? Like, that made no sense to me, but if you say that it's part of the plan, then I guess. Because how else would that lamp factor into the story?
Yeah, I think they were using it for whatever they were, because I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but
I might have missed it. I mean,
I kind of remember, I think I remember that one guy that's putting shampoo or whatever he's using into that tube. I think he's the one who had that flashlight in the beginning.
I don't know. I must have either dozed off or maybe I went up to get a drink of water or something, because I don't remember them featuring that lamp in a scene or that light, whatever, in a scene.
Yeah.
So I don't know, dude, but I mean, they had a UV lamp, so this guy figures out, oh, if it's a vampire, then I'll attack her with everything that vampire lore says hurts them.
Right.
But how do you know it's gonna hurt them?
Well, he did it, and then it did, so
Yeah.
it worked out
Yeah,
for
but
him,
imagine like if vampires were real and they're like, nah, man, like I love garlic. Here's have a slice. I'm eating a slice of pizza right
I
now, or like
guess.
crosses. I don't mind crosses. Jesus is cool.
That'd be funny. See, that would be a comedy. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But now, and of course, the biggest weakness of them all is that the more blood she drinks, the less human she becomes.
True.
By this point, it's already a nightfall. The airplane's gonna be, or the vampires, sorry, are gonna leave the airplane, because they couldn't leave because it was daylight. But then, as soon as nighttime's comes, they were gonna escape the airplane and, of course, start
Attacking,
eating
yeah.
everybody.
Right.
So the little kid has a detonator for a bomb that the terrorists have planted in the plane. And so when he sees that his mom is no longer his mom anymore, he's like, well, screw it. And he blows up everything. And for a while, it seems like he died too.
Yeah.
Dude, because he got thrown by that blast, like, I don't know how many feet back.
For
So, I mean,
real.
he would have actually died, dude. I'm sorry. Like, he if
What
this.
I want to know, how did they get the kid out of the plane?
You see it in the beginning. In the beginning, you see him. Somehow he escapes through with one of the lower hatches.
Oh, okay.
I think the landing gear, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Somehow he finds a way out, but the vampires can't go after him because it's daylight, so they can't chase him.
Yeah. True, true, true. Okay.
But before that explosion scene, the where he realized that his mom already was too far gone, when she gets killed or hurt rather in the plane by the other guy, and he cuts his hand and feeds her his blood, and so she wakes up and she's already like pushing him away.
Yeah.
'Cause she knows like any little thing that she was gonna like kill him, essentially.
Right.
And I think the only thing that might have stopped her is the fact that the door was open and the light was pouring in from the sun. So I think maybe that was like in her mind, she's like, okay, no, like, yeah, it's my kid still. She's like, some trace memory still existed in her brain.
Yeah.
But I think the main factor was the sunlight that was hurting her.
También. Yeah.
So, but in that scene, you kind of see like his heart breaking, dude, and it's like, oh.
I know, it was really hard to watch. His kid's trying to understand, but he can't because he wants to help his mom. He loves his mom. But she's already like too far gone, so it's like pobrecito. He lost his dad and his mom.
Yeah, so it's a very dramatic story.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even call this a thriller. What would you call this?
I don't know.
A horror drama, maybe?
A drama, yeah. A fantasy drama, because like, I mean, it's not really scary. I mean, from my judgment, like,
Yeah,
I
no,
don't consider
I wouldn't call it scary. I
it
mean, it's a little bit gory, but they don't show too much violence.
scary.
I mean, you
It's
kind of.
more of a drama, yeah.
It's like a horror themed drama, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of her as a character? Is she a strong character? Is she well developed? Her story, this is.
I mean, kind of, but I mean, you know that her whole life is her kid. That's basically her whole personality.
And like you said earlier, she really goes above and beyond to protect her child, in spite of the fact that she's battling this weird illness that's making her into this vampire thing. So I think it speaks to her character a lot that she's kind of
Oh, yeah.
still trying to hang on to that as long as she can to make sure her kid's alive, or that makes it through this whole ordeal. So I don't know, dude. I mean, do you think she deserves what happened to her?
I don't think so. I mean, it sucks that all that happened to her, and I mean, she wasn't a bad person, so no. Like, had that whole terrorist thing not interfered, she would have been fine. Would have been getting treated, you know? Yeah, no, I don't think it was fair at all.
I don't think she deserved that either, but I mean, as we all know in real life and in fiction, bad things happen to good people, right?
That is very true.
So, you got any other comments or opinions on Vampire Mom Nadia?
Nope. But I hope vampires don't exist because I would not like to be that type of vampire.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't make it, dude, in this plane.
Me neither.
If not one of the first to die, I'd probably be somewhere in the middle. But I would probably die eventually. I mean, I like to think that I would like make a heroic last stand,
Yeah, I would
but
prefer to be like, I mean, get turned into a vampire that's at least attractive and like, you know, can walk in the sun, so I can go to the beach and be immortal. But like, that type of vampire that's like almost like I Am Legend style, or like almost like a zombie, basically. No, I would not.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, that's the movie that I was thinking of. That I was like, I've seen vampires like this in their
Like
movies,
this?
and of course it was I Am Legend. But also, I mean, the physical appearance is an homage, I think, to Nosferatu, the silent movie, because she looks very much like that. But also, I mean, well, in Stephen King's adaptation of Salem's Lot, I haven't seen that series. I'm trying to find it through any means necessary. It's a series from the 70s that was about his book called Salem's Lot, and the character, the vampire lord in that story, is called Barlow. That character looks a lot like what she looks like in this film, which in turn looks like Nosferatu, so it's kind of like a little homage thing. Yeah, because the guy is bald and he's got like bright yellow eyes and he's got like weird teeth kind of like hanging out. But yeah, I immediately thought of Barlow, the TV vampire. But Okay, so how many skulls does she get on the square meter, my friend?
I'm gonna go with five. I mean, she's not scary, but she's dangerous. That's it. So I'll go with five.
I would agree with you, but I'm gonna give her a couple extra points for fighting through it.
Okay.
I mean, she was a trooper. She held on as long as she could do so. I gotta respect that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair.
or
You're
not.
right.
I'm sorry, but I gotta give her props for that. So I would go with a 7.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that, I mean, we're not judging her. I don't think of her scariness, but just as a character as a whole. Because I mean.
Yeah.
So I would go with a 7. So she gets a 6 average from us. I mean, it's not bad.
Okay.
So 6 out of 10 skulls on the scare meter. That's our average for this character, Nadia the Vampire Mom. So that was our Know Thine Frenemy segment for this a special installment of that episode in our podcast tonight. But yeah, we'll be right back with the worst segment ever, the closing remarks.
Boo.
All right, Monica, the audience, and myself, le sad face once again because we are at the end of our podcast episode, my friend.
Boo.
Yes, boo indeed. I second that motion. So I want to thank everybody that took some time to listen to us. Thank you very much for joining us. If you are a first-time listener, we hope you enjoyed this episode and that you come back for more. We have a list of 52 other episodes. And if you are a repeat listener, once again, thank you for your support. You are a faithful member of the EMBL squad. Let us know that you're listening to us. We can give you a shout out in this segment right here. And speaking of shout outs, Monica, I want to give some shout outs. I don't know, well, first of all, do you have any shout outs?
No, I don't.
All right, well, I got a few. I guess that'll pick up the slack for us. So I want to give a shout out to our Twitter friend Pixie because Pixie is a hostess in a podcast that is about the adult entertainment industry. She used to be an adult entertainer, and she and her co-host Mr. J talk about their misadventures in that lifestyle. It's very entertaining. It's very enlightening. It's very it's fun, and it's also a little bit, you know. It's real life, dude. It's real life with their experiences, you know, so it's fun. So I want to thank her right now because she's always supportive of people on Twitter, of podcasters in particular. She's always pushing for people to connect with each other and collaborate and to get their names out there. She's been really helpful for us. I mean, she got us a lot of support in the early days. Remember back when we had like 3 followers on Twitter?
Yeah.
And now we're up to almost 1,200, so I mean.
Damn.
This is in no small part because of her, but I want to give her a special thanks today because, well, one, it's season 5, by the way. I think we forgot to mention this completely. This is the season premiere, season 5 premiere, so yay. Party time. And so Pixie invited a few other people and myself to talk to her on her Twitter space about music creation and music usage in podcasts, and I had the honor of recording that episode, and we'll be releasing that hopefully, maybe on Wednesday, the day after this episode releases for our podcast. So that conversation in which I took a part of will be released. Thank you, Pixie, very much for being supportive and for getting people to collaborate and talk to each other about stuff like that. And I also want to thank our friends in Sass and Sips podcast and No More Late Fees podcast, excuse me, because they are being very supportive. They are being very awesome. They are sharing our stuff. They're being just really amazing individuals. Thank you very much for your support. And actually, Sass and Sips will be sending us some goodies, Monica. So
Nice.
they
Yay.
they let us know that we'll be having some goodies, and I will do the same for them. I will send some of our EMBL swag their direction. And I want to give a shout out to the people that are participating in our Twitter poll. And like I said, I thought I was going to have this ready by the end of the episode, but I didn't. So, but currently, our question: which of these situations do you think you would survive? Snakes in a plane or vampires on a plane, Monica? And right now we have about 30 votes.
Okay.
And as of this moment, and this is probably gonna change, of course, but I mean, if more people vote, but 60% say they would survive snakes on a plane, and 40% say that they would survive vampires on a plane. So, what do you think?
The snakes. I mean, I hate snakes. I can't, they scare me, but these type of vampires, I probably would definitely not survive.
Huh. Me either. I don't think I would. I would definitely be Vampire Chow.
Yep.
Right, so yeah, as we mentioned, this is the season 5 premiere. How excited are we that we forgot that it's a season premiere, but
I can't even talk.
See, Monica is so excited that she's at a loss for words right now, guys.
Yes, exactly.
Oops. To say the least. But yes. Let's go ahead, Monica, and remind our listeners of our social media accounts. And we have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And we have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind Legends. Oh wait, no, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. Oh, no, you said it
No,
wrong.
it's Myths Behind LGDS.
Yes.
But our email is mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
Awesome. And as always, go ahead and email us your comments, your questions, suggestions, etc. We had somebody send us a question about collaborations. We might be looking into that. So, Monica, we'll be talking about this soon.
Yay.
Hopefully. And we have our Letterboxd, by the way, which is also under Myths Behind LGDS, and that is a movie blog type of website. You can review movies, interact with other reviewers, you can make lists of whatever movies you like that you don't like, etc. So join us under, suggest a movie from our watch list, or for our watch list, for that matter. TikTok. We have a TikTok for the past month or so, maybe, or a couple of weeks, I don't know. I lost count. But that is also under Myths Behind Legends. And as always, cry for help, flare in the sky, help me help Monica figure out what this mysterious platform is about, because we have no idea how to work it so we can get a lot of views in there. And no, that's a serious question. Like, if you have any hints or help, email us or text us or through the
Please.
DMs on Twitter or whatever, because we need help.
Okay.
All right, so our infamous website, which is going to be under Monica, myths-behind-legends.mailchimpsites.com. Nice.
Yep.
I was waiting for you to cheer and you never did, so.
Oh, yay.
Because typically you cheer, my friend. But yes, that is our website. And so the hint, Monica, for our next episode, in the spirit of this being season premiere, I will do the hint. I'll do the honors for us. And basically, we're gonna watch a movie in which sounds like every other horror movie out there, but people go to the woods and they come across something very, very dangerous.
Dun dun dun.
It could be like a million movies. But yeah, I mean, that's gonna be the hint. And yeah, so that's what you get until we re reveal. I mean, I've been revealing it on Twitter midweek sometimes, and I don't know, it's just, but I like to keep the belief that I keep people in suspense for a week until the next episode, because that's kind of how it used to be back in the day, dude. Like, just real quick, I mean, if you remember, you would watch a show and it was once a week, dude. There was no binging.
Yeah,
and it would
true.
be like a next episode, and they show you like maybe like a
Like,
15 second preview or whatever,
yeah.
like a couple of scenes. So you would if you really like the show, you would wait anxiously for that next episode.
Exactly.
So that's what I want to imagine our listeners are like, holding their breath until the next episode drops. Oh, not quite not because they would no, but
Don't, yeah. You might die. So don't do that.
you know what I mean. So yeah, that was our episode tonight. Once again, I want to thank everyone that's been listening. Thank you very much. If you don't mind, you might show us some love by leaving a review. We haven't asked people to do this in a while, but we are on Apple Podcasts, we are on Podchaser, a couple of different platforms that have reviews options available. If you like what you heard, by all means, drop us a 5-star review under and tell us why you liked it so much, because of course you like this. There's no other possibility. Right, so that was the episode. I want to wish everyone a great evening, night, morning. Stay away from airplanes that have vampires in them. And until we see you again, be good to everyone, to yourself. And yes, we'll see you in the next one. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.